Okay, we started.
Good evening and welcome to the Village of Carmack's Council meeting, Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. We'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting today on traditional territory of the Little Sam and Carmack's First Nation. It is 7 o'clock. I'll call the meeting to order. A motion to approve the agenda.
If I could
Behind us.
amendment, yeah. So under number four, delegation, will be joined
Oh.
sorry, by Jane Kepke and Mark Wickstrom to talk about the housing project. Number five, there's an addition to correspondence, a letter for Minister Belmore. And
Numbers.
we should add 6.7 bylaw report.
Right.
And RCMP.
And maybe 4.2 RCMP.
Sorry, yes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
One RCMP. 4.2.
Yeah. Okay. We have a motion to accept the agenda as presented.
As amended, I will make the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Hansen. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Passes. Adoption of the minutes for April 7th, 2026.
I'll make a motion with a small amendment.
Okay.
Rather than Helena being a delegation, it ought to be regrets.
Thank you.
Fourth line of the minutes.
And Councillor Wheeler will give her regrets at this meeting too. Okay. And I'm not sure about Councillor Belanger. But do we have a seconder for the amendments to the April 7th?
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor? Okay. All right. Delegations. Mr. Beauchamp.
Oh, sorry. Everybody has a copy, or
I got a copy.
If you need a paper copy, I have several over here.
Here, I'll take one, please. It's a little lost. Thank you.
Oh, was it? Okay,
thanks a
lot. Yeah, sorry, Greg.
Oh, good.
Thanks, sir.
Oh, that's my shirt for a copy. Oh, I'm on here. That's okay. Well, you just so monthly report for month of March. You've been noticed that we have an increase in assault files, a decrease in existence or suspicious occurrences. We had an increase in break manner, decrease in causing disturbance, an increase of drug files. Same thing for failed to comply, driving, impaired driving. We've seen a decrease. None of them was that file was not forwarded for charges. Last year, we were for charges. Decrease of the Mental Health Act. Sexual assault, same thing, decrease from last year. Traffic, we've been up to par for last year. Other threats, we've seen an increase. Vehicle collision, same thing. Building check a lower. Overall, we even if we talked earlier that we saw a decrease in calls or amount of files from last year, this year they're chargeable files. Last year they were more chargeable files. Same thing, call for service with the involving alcohol. We have a decrease, and one prisoner was held in CarMax. Again, the assaults were just, again, people don't want to proceed with charges. They just want the incident documented. Next, Fourth Circuit and CarMax is on May 6th, 2026, not 25.
Got it.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
The camera's a pun. You can't take from this. Oh.
So,
So for the month of March, the RCMP has seen an increase in substance misuse where the where individuals confessed to smoking crack, which led to them having mental health issues. The individuals voluntarily asked to be medevaced to outside of the community. They're seeking an additional care and support, which could only be found in Whitehorse. CARMAX RCMP has reached out to local program leaders to get proper support for their recovery. Again, the ongoing issue crack cocaine, and we've seen an increase. We are working on trying to get them. We're doing several tactics, just showing that we're watching them by doing the traffic enforcement.
Thank you.
Member continued effort to enhance road safety through high visibility patrols, completing 122 patrols, totaling approximately 155 hours on the road. Numerous traffic stops were conducted, resulting in both violation and warning tickets. Again, for the increase of traffic due to high season for tourists, high season, that we're going into high season, sorry, we'll probably be out and about way more to enforce the traffic Motor Vehicle Act. Yeah, throughout the month, the CARMAX RCMP engaged with the youth in the community. They attended the school, played with students during their physical education block of the day. They talked about financial responsibility to high school students. The RCMP also met with key partners with the goal to have the children's car seat safety workshop in the near future. That workshop is scheduled to be held on June 16, 2026. The goal of this workshop is to educate the resident about the importance of road safety while transporting youth around the Yukon. The reason I brought that forward, this winter we had a couple that went from, that was traveling from Dawson to Whitehorse, close to outside of CARMAX, probably 10 kilometers north of CARMAX. They went off the road, and instead of keeping the kid in the car seat, they grabbed the kid, adopted the position like you adopt in the plane when you crash, and instead of keeping the kid at the safest location in the car seat. The car seat was not properly installed and it was expired. So that's the reason why I'm pushing for a
Was the child injured?
No, really lucky because, really lucky.
I remember being there. I just didn't, everything was cleared up when we, like you had already had them gone. So I never did hear if anybody was injured in the vehicle.
Yeah, no, nobody was injured. But like, lucky for them that nobody was injured.
I got a question for you. Yeah. Is there something maybe we could assist on the village side with the local fire department to help that go through and put something on? Like with the response of some of the firefighters with the jaws of life, and it's just like a...
Yeah, if you want, we can...
demonstration.
Link you in, and we're thinking about doing the event at the
that's
cool. FCS.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the highway and everybody will see us.
Yeah.
But we can also move it down, like it's not set in stone location.
Yeah.
But we can, we can put the firefighters on scene too, and just show the equipment and like do like a presentation with the collision and how it looks. And normally when you get into collision, normally you hit
something.
You hit some, yeah. And normally when you're inside the vehicle and you don't, let's say, wear your seatbelt, you're not in that proper position, you normally get hurt or get hit 14 times. I don't know the specific number, but like they say that the only way you do get into a car collision, not wearing the proper safety equipment or car seat, you get...
Well, we'd like to help out with that.
Perfect. So. Yeah, well, I'll reach out again with Village CarMax. We had a Zoom meeting that Prince was part of, and we'll also reach out to LCFN, just update them on what's going on. I
sure.
guess it's a I wanted a joint effort.
Yeah.
Especially the family resource worker where they have to transport kids or set up the family for success.
Yeah.
So see, we even talked about possibly trying to get funds for a family that has no money for a car seat.
Yeah. That fire department. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll reach out to the fire department and the village. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's the goal for June. And at the same time, it's going to be a good opportunity for the new corporal to just be involved in the community.
Very nice.
Notable occurrences for month of March. The Camerac Health Center requested assistance from the RCMP. The RCMP were informed that a child had the febrile seizure and needed immediate medical attention. The RCMP and the local nurse attended the Carmack daycare, where the child was stabilized prior to being medevaced back to Whitehorse General Hospital. So I told, we had a debrief after that, and we talked about that if the ambulance takes too long to get on location, I'm willing to just go pick up the nurse, go to the location, and wait for the ambulance from there. Because by the time everything's stabilized, the ambulance should be there on scene.
Yeah.
And again, I'd like to repeat myself a lot, but like in CarMax, my priority is citizens in the CarMax, and the youth is a special priority for me.
Yeah.
Also, the second notable occurrence is distraught man reported that he was victim of blood magic by several CarMax residents. The distraught man asked the RCMP to search his vehicle because it was covered in blood magic. The RCMP learned that he had been smoking crack the entire weekend. The RCMP was later informed that the distraught man had several firearms inside the residence. The RCMP was able to retrieve all the firearms from the residence. The firearms will be kept at the detachment given he does not have a valid PAL.
What is blood magic?
So from what it was explained, it's you take blood from, they put it in your vehicle, or they put items that they put a curse on, and they put it in your vehicle, and then it attracts all the bad spirits to you.
Okay.
And I had to get someone to explain it to me. I do not understand initially.
God, I haven't heard of that stuff since the 80s.
Yeah. Person was really highly intoxicated by crack. Got the person out of the community, and at the moment it's on and off for his current state. He's seeking it help, and then runs away, seeking help, runs away, seeking help, runs away. But again, that's due to crack use. With the departure of Corporal McNeil, Paramex RSMP will be supplemented, but good relief for the time being. The new corporal, Devin Peters, is expected to arrive on April 26, 2026. And just a correction over here, it's now because this flight was canceled due to the weather in Kougrou. He's expected to arrive in CarMax on the 30th or the 1st of May.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that to bring him around town, introduce him to everyone. So he doesn't. I want to make sure that we have a good transition from David to him.
Yeah.
Want him to be able to have the same kind of a relationship that David had in the community, or even better.
Yeah. Warm welcomings.
Yeah, I thought he was already here.
Yeah, no, no, he's still in transit.
Okay.
Any concerning questions?
No, you gotta keep up the good work. Wow.
Yes. Again, it's crackers and Carmax. We've been trying. Again, we've been trying to do different tactics. I would just recommend people just respect the Motor Vehicle Act at the moment, because that's how we get drug dealers. It's not. It's like Al Capone got taught for tax evasion, not for alcohol contraband or gun smuggling. Got caught for not paying his taxes.
I hear you. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks.
Take care.
Good work. Good job. Okay. Back. Like, what is that?
Thank you for at this time, we'll move on to our delegation, Jane Ketke. Welcome, Jane. And Mark.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi. Yes.
Hi, Mark.
Okay.
Hi,
Jane. Just turning on my video.
Woohoo.
Here we go. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Coming to you live from my 13-year-old son's room because they're all eating dinner near my home office. Mark, I did a lot of the yakking last time. This is totally your brain trust. Do you want to walk them through it?
Oh,
okay. Put on the spot.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I guess, you know, we're following on from 2 weeks ago with the discussion we had then at that point. I mean, I appreciate it. I don't think all the councillors were at that meeting, but we did do a review of where the Housing Accelerator Fund work and action plan is and where the current funding situation is at with this at the last meeting. The conclusion and direction we took away from that meeting was that council would like to prioritize the remaining available funding in the first place towards running another round of the housing development grant program with a view to getting, you know, potentially providing access to local developers, builders, and residents, right, like as soon as possible, right, to support any further sort of imminent demand need, right, like to build sort of private sector housing, like at the get-go here, right, quickly. Bearing in mind for those that aren't there, right, any permits that are going to count towards CARMAC's sort of current work plan need to be in place by the end of this year, 31st of December 2026, right? So there is not much time to actually get building permits done by that time. I mean, it can certainly be done. I'm just saying there isn't room for applications of people that might want to build in a year or 2 year or 3 year time. Actual construction and spending of any money that is received through this program needs to be done by
November 15th for last fall's round.
Yeah.
And moved it up a tiny bit for this one, just knowing that that these folks need as much nudging as we can give them to get it done.
But essentially by the end of next year, close, you know, the end of next building season, shall we say, right? Like, so this is going to be for people who are really ready to go, is what the message is. But we took the direction from council, give it another go in case there are more owners out there, more property owners, right, who are ready to build while this money is available, because this, again, is likely a sort of one-time only program opportunity for the village to provide or help direct the assistance from the federal government locally in this manner. It's a very atypical program from that point of view to have that much local discretion. That is what we went ahead and did. They, again, moving quickly because everything's like very time constrained. Here we are back at the next meeting. Hopefully this made it into your package, we wrote up an addendum to the current housing development grant policy. So hopefully you have that maybe in front of you. Is that
did council receive it?
Just 1 sec, we're just pulling it up here.
Okay, perfect.
Page 32?
Yeah, it was under a new announcement with me.
Okay. Scroll to the bottom.
32.
Sorry.
No worries.
Excuse me.
There we go. All right. So a lot of it's the same, except for the addendums that you're showing. Are they highlighted?
It's 38, page number 38.
Page number 38.
Yeah, there's an addendum page, so the the original policy will stand. This is just going to be an addendum to it, so it's a more elegant way of
Yeah,
making these
perfect.
tweaks. Yeah.
I had one question that I wanted clarification on. Was there a piece in the addendum that we talked about? I know that we've mentioned this a few times about tax exemption for a certain amount of years while they're in this.
That was only in this policy as a potential for the bigger projects, right? So under the major projects, I mean, you'd have to go back to the original policy. We under major housing development, it was on sort of page.
Just scrolling through. It's on page, it's on page 2 of the original policy, and it does speak to property tax abatement for up to 100% of the increase in annual property taxes ascribed to the new housing development, but there's no provision under the minor grant for tax abatement. That was never part of that program. It was much more straightforward. The original thinking was we wanted as much flexibility as possible with the majors to try to m meet the needs that they would have, whereas sort of these individual homeowners, we wanted to keep it really simple.
So from what I'm hearing, I know the majors is something that we're trying to push as well, but it seems like we're getting a lot more action on the minors. And there's some that are already doing development that may alleviate them to do even more in the minors. Because what's happened is they've basically bid on individual residential lots. And they're not really technically a major as in one property. They have multiples. So I'm just kind of curious, how do you see that kind of laying out? Like if they were doing multiple builds on multiple lots, would that be a major? What would bump them into that type of bracket?
Five residences to start would be the minimum that they'd need to be building. And I'm just going back to see if it stipulates all on one lot. It's
We did say on one property back on the first page definition.
We do say it's on one property, right? Yes. Okay.
So that's the piece that I think that maybe we could work on where it kind of opens it up because they're technically a major, but they're not making it to the major because they might only be doing two, like a duplex here and a duplex there, right? They're not hitting that number.
When you look at the numbers, they may be better off staying in the minor league, so to speak, because the incentive is $40,000 versus a maximum of 30 for the major per dwelling unit.
I'm just trying to see if you maybe have a mechanism that can alleviate them, like we've discussed before, is they're paying high construction costs on insurance. And if we want them to build within those time slots, it's they're having a hard time executing that based on getting money tied up on one property. Not only just doing the next one either.
So it sounds like you have a very specific case in mind or that maybe somebody's approached you about.
There's a
Is that
mul there's multiple people right now that have multiple lots that are trying to develop, which have already engaged on the first piece, but then now they're in construction this year. Their money's tied up on that, and then they want to look at the second piece on a different property, but don't have the means to, like, the money is there, it's tight, and it's for a few people in town that have already applied for the first one and got it.
If money is tight, are they going to be able to finish this by the
Yeah.
end of this year?
Well, it's the end of next year, isn't it? It's December 31st of next year
I
that
know,
it's
but
going to be
the thing
completed.
is, what I'm hearing from a couple of different, I'd say, private homeowners is that they've engaged in the first piece as a minor,
Yeah.
and they have other properties, and they want to engage in the next segment of this piece, but to alleviate them paying so much in construction insurance, they need to be able to have some kind of out if there's a some type of either taxation, like you said, piece to that, because they're in multiple years of construction at this point. The first year would be this year, then finishing next year. That's two different years.
I guess I would ask the question, because if you're trying to abate the cost, construction insurance is typically paid up front, right? So if you're trying to like alleviate an immediate now cost with a tax break, which is sort of,
yeah,
you know, 2 to 10 years down the road, I don't know how that
or
helps.
Just while they're in construction.
Because, you know, that's why I say we right now, this is heavily loaded of cash up front. So
yes,
it's rather than trying to give benefits further down the line.
Okay.
I certainly understand the challenge of that. But this, yeah, I don't know how a future benefits would help.
Yeah, I don't either.
The other one was,
yeah,
the other question I had was in the helping of possibly placement of the mobile or semi built places, and what that number was gonna be.
Oh, we added 10,000 for that.
Yeah, okay.
So that takes you up to a potential, you know, depending on your servicing requirements, right? You know, if you're on a lot that needs a well and a septic, and you do a mobile home and you get it all done, get your permit by September, you're up to $77,500 for that one dwelling.
Yeah.
Which is it's a reasonable amount by that point, I'm gonna say, compared to any other programs I've seen through the municipalities. Now, if you're doing affordable rental, if you make commitments to sort of 20 years of affordable rental, the Yukon Housing, you know, you can apply for some of their programs that are up to another 100,000 on top, but then you got to commit to the lower rent, right? So,
Yeah, that's council. Do you have any other questions regarding the amendment?
No, I think it's great.
I just wish more people jump on board.
Yeah, it's maybe we could talk a little bit about how we're promoting this, and maybe in person, or what that all looks like.
Good question. So I guess the first step, we were just hoping to sort of get council approval on this addendum, and then I've got letters ready to go. Last time we sent out letters to individual property owners. And I wonder if this time you want any mention of the proposed tax increase. I'm not sure if that's been decided or not. I've heard that there's been some rumbling on Facebook about the tax increase.
The information's there for us to share, and we could share that on our end. It doesn't have to be attached to what you're doing. But,
yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think that we stick with the mail out as we did last time, and then some Facebook posts. And we did talk about having an in-person meeting. Mark and I can arrange with Blake and Prince around, you know, a good time to do that. I think probably a evening meeting. Maybe we could ask a recipient or two to attend and maybe just talk about their experiences so far. Something, pretty low key. So I think we sort of arrange for that, and then include that detail in the mail out and in the Facebook posts.
I just had a question. If without it getting kind of too big or too long of a thing, but having invite some of the local contractors and having that showcase piece, and then maybe having one of the persons that achieved the full payment come in and speak if they feel that they're up to that.
We don't have anybody that could speak to that, really, because everybody
we have Michael Sam.
Oh, Michael Sam, that's right. Yeah, he His was a bit unusual because he came in sort of pretty well. His dwelling was finished. But you're right. We do have one that technically did finish.
I had to just kind of tell them it's there for you.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. We could totally invite Michael.
Yeah, I would also actually, on that note, a little bit, draw your attention to that section 3.7 change we did there too in the addendum. That does provide eligibility if we're not aware of anybody, but if somebody did get a permit sort of between January the 1st and now, they could still be eligible for this, you know, like so that we have that slight retroactive eligibility. I mean, we already know about all the permits from last year because we've counted them and they were all in the program. But if somebody by chance has a permit that's just gone through, we don't want them like, you know, to miss out, right? That we did that last time. So that's in there. But yeah, I think we're so I don't know, maybe second week of May. I don't want to speak for you, Jane, but I could probably be up there second week of May if we have this stuff kind of
Yeah,
launched.
I think
Maybe.
so too. At yeah, second week of May, and I think we had a month-long intake last time. And because we have that September 30th sort of deadline for the building permit incentive, would probably be wise to not take much longer than a month for this intake, so that people who actually receive, the who are approved are positioned to succeed and get that bonus grant. So let's see, if it's 21st today, let's say we're launching by Friday. Get all the ducks in a row. So, yeah, somewhere around May 25th. So, yeah, the second week of May, I think, would be sort of still early on-ish into the intake period.
Okay.
What does council
Sounds
think of
good.
that? Yeah.
Yeah. Council?
Yes. We'll say
But
something.
when you say the second week of May, are you meaning the 10th through the 16th, or?
Yeah, I'm thinking like the 12th or something around there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good. That works.
Yeah. Okay. Something happening the
Cool.
first week of May we should know about? Is there anything coming up that we should try to avoid overlapping with in the community?
Well, the AYC annual general meeting is in Watson Lake on the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th.
Oh, got it. Okay, yeah.
So we're good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing here, Jane and Mark, is that you need a motion to accept just an amendment as you presented it.
Yeah, I guess a motion to ex or pass or accept the addendum. I'm not sure what the
Yeah,
best term
sure.
is. Yeah.
Would somebody like to make the motion to accept the amendment to the, sorry, one second, the title here?
Village of CarMax Housing Development Grant Policy.
Thank you,
I'll
Councillor.
make the motion that we accept the addendum.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? That passes. Thank you.
Thank
All right,
you.
fabulous.
Great.
We'll get to work.
Thank you very much.
What did you
Thanks,
stop?
Council.
Yeah, I look forward to visiting and I hope the river treats you well up there. I hope it's kind,
I
both
had one
rivers.
more question for you both. Let's say hypothetically there was for one lot 127, and there was a proposed there was units available right in the territory that kind of match or suit that the possible units. What that would look like if they're already pre-made. Would they were built in 2016, would they be subject to a new inspection for like electrical or plumbing or what that would be like?
So there's a 2016 unit that's available for purchase, I take it. And so you want to know what
Feasibility of but purchasing something locally in Yukon rather than outside of the territory.
secondhand.
Okay.
Yeah. That
Okay.
was my.
And there's multiple units.
Oh, multiple units. I see. Okay.
And they house, I think I've seen at least there's two rooms, two bathrooms, one common living area. And that's only one half. There's It's doubled that on one unit. It's 16 by 90.
They're 16 by 90?
They are 16 by 90, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay, we can look into that. I'm definitely curious about what that would mean layout wise, because part of what we're trying to do is make sure that you're preserving future options. So I can start to scratch away at the site plan and see what the implications of that are. And yeah, Mark and I can try to figure that out, and maybe we can have some further discussion on that when we come up on the 12th or somewhere around the 12th. Does
Perfect.
that work for council? Okay. Sounds good. It sounds like these aren't flying off the shelf anytime soon. You've got a bit of time to make a decision.
Know. See you, Con. Springtime.
That was my question. Does someone buy a secondhand to buy it? Is it eligible?
What, say that again?
What you're saying is a secondhand. This is like, this is a used unit. That's what was going to be my question, but you beat me to it. Is if someone bought a trailer that's a little bit older onto a property, is it eligible or does it have to be something that's newly built?
It doesn't really specify that as long as it meets the inspections.
Yeah, I think that the policy does not preclude that scenario from my read. What do you think, Mark?
We would have to look into the sort of current use and provenance of those units. They because housing accelerator fund is very much about new units, right? So if they're currently homes, then they're not going to qualify as a valid expenditure, right? If they're already homes and they're just being bought moved from one owner to another,
Right.
that's not going to qualify for the funding use, right? So
But
I don't know what their current.
it's under a new permit, wouldn't that count?
If they're moving it from outside of CarMax into CarMax.
I
Because you
think
have to have a
we'd
permit.
have to talk that through with the
Well,
funder to make sure.
we'll look into it. There is one proviso though, like big picture. You're about to roll out this new incentive program, and actually we didn't talk about the dollar amount, but Mark and I are recommending that this intake be 475,000 total, which leaves you with a pretty comfortable cushion to continue to retain Mark and I and Adam Greenwood Engineering miscellaneous services to help actually implement the half work plan. But that 475 we're suggesting is allocated 300 to the minors and 175 to the major. And of course, council can adjust that depending on what the demand is on the minor side. Say, there's only $200,000 in demand for the minors, then you could always put more money towards the major. Anyhow, what that means essentially is that count based on sort of two meetings back, I'm forgetting. Anyways, I
No,
think
I
the
remember.
meeting sort of council decided to see if like to basically put that money out into the community and see if it could rally up some more permits. So your discretionary spending right now, until we have a better handle on how much demand there's going to be for this intake is somewhat low.
All right.
Yeah. But we'll know much better in about a month from now as to how much budget there might be for Lot 127 to actually, buy something or put something on it.
I got one follow-up just based on our previous last question. From what we just approved, is would we have to amend that if the information you get from the half comes back as saying yes, they could use that money as allocation to a previous built if it's not new?
Would we have to amend the policy?
Yeah.
The resolution.
The resolution to accept the housing that was already pre-built, but then under a new permit. Because that's technically what we're asking, right?
Oh, sorry. Okay, but your question was specific to Lot 127, correct?
I mean, for anybody though, that's what
Oh,
Dennis was
okay.
asking. Like
I
in
see.
this draft here, does it
Yep.
accept or allow for somebody to move a unit within the territory to CarMax and still be eligible for this?
Like, say me, I got a 1969 trailer falling apart and I want to improve up to 2016. Would that be eligible, or does it have to be a 2026 build or whatever, new build?
Yeah.
Certainly, the intention was towards the new build, but I'm just going through the policy to
I don't really
see.
see it mentioned here whether it is or isn't. I
I
don't.
think it's just the permits is
It's
from what I've.
really about the building permit.
So if you get the building permit and the development permit and it. But my question was more on the lines of what Mark was saying, if the funders are saying it's not eligible, like that was the piece. So if there's something in here that we have to say that we don't accept this type of movement of this type of structure to be eligible, it's kind of a. Because
It says here the building.
you're enjoying this one, eh, Mark?
Oh, it's just I always, like I say, having spent so long in the community that meet that up there and Dawson that moves houses around all the time, right? Now I've got this vision of everyone just shifting all the houses around in town and from lot to lot to lot and overnight and paying like so many thousand
Happy
dollars
with Bombay
off.
continues.
Yeah, I think we could go and do a quick check. I mean, if there's some clarification that needs to be put through, but we'll do that. We'd have to do a quick check with the funder and get back to you because we're all speculating a little bit here, but I understand the question for sure.
Okay,
I
perfect.
mean, the worst case scenario is we put this out, we get some new information, and we put that out to the community. I think given the amount of money that council is offering up to the community, I think people will afford a bit of grace, hopefully, in your direction and our direction by extension.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're purchasing something at that large amount of money and then something else gets adjusted where you could have spent less, that's going to be a bad taste.
True that. I would say if you are talking to people right now, I would go with Mark's initial hunch, which I would agree with, that the intention is for new builds, new housing units, not old ones that are going to, not old ones that are going to be moved from elsewhere. So if you have to be providing advice to people for now, I would certainly point them in that direction. But we will confirm.
Oh, perfect.
It's a great question.
Yeah. All right. You got
Okay.
some spots
Are we
that could.
passing the policy?
Yeah, it already passed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All
Fabulous.
right,
Thank you.
everybody.
Thanks.
We'll
Thank you.
see
Have
you
a good one.
soon. Take
Thanks,
care.
Mark. See you
Bye.
later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay. Correspondence 5.1, joint letter to Yukon government from LSCFN and the Vinci CarMax. They get to scroll back up here and so everybody's received this letter. You're looking for
Page number 9.
number 9. Here we go. Thank you, Prince. Yeah, I'll pass this on to Blake. You want to speak on this a little bit? Just
Sure. Yeah. So this is a joint letter to ministers, Minister Chalmers, Minister Belmore. This came out of the joint council meeting from March 11th, and so it was a decision made at that meeting to submit a letter just to highlight the lack of investment in health infrastructure, really kind of focusing on the decrepit state of the health center and the need for more space for health services around the community. It was drafted jointly by both LSC Event and the village, and submitted, and we received responses both from Minister Belmore and from Minister Cavish.
Perfect. We have received responses already.
Yeah.
Okay.
The vectors are there.
The letters are on in your paper packet.
Oh, okay.
The content of the letters is more or less that they'll be responding with further comment. Minister Cavish.
Okay.
Minister Belmore acknowledged that she's very familiar with the issue and is also the study.
It's on page Joss.
Hang on, I'll get out the letter.
That's the letter.
There's not one from Gathers yet.
No, thank
you. Thanks.
It's just he CC'd, or Minister Belmore CC'd Honorable Curry Dixon and Honorable Brad Travis on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. He's the health minister, though, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Okay. Thank you, ministers.
Where is there?
So that was both 5.1 and 5.2, correct, Brad?
Yeah.
Those are together?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Moving forward. 6.1 council activity reports. Councillor Hanson.
I don't think I have anything to report on it. Didn't blink like
Councillor Mitchell.
Did your work I did attend the last rec board meeting. Well, I don't know something else, but kind of that's voted for me.
Yeah. Okay. As Councillor Belanger and Councillor Wheeler send their regrets, I'll move on to my report. They're not online, right?
No.
Okay. My report has been ongoing with both the administration here with Brad about the flood mitigation. Preparation for possible flood and fire season cost.
You mean this Brad or this Blake?
Or sorry, Blake. Sorry, Blake. Ongoing conversations with that. Blake has shared some posts on the web. I'm not sure if we have one that's like a paper copy that could possibly go out within. Kind of conjunction with the YTG, how they have their posts, if there's something there. So that's been ongoing talks, ongoing updates, both from LSCFN and us and YTG. Thank you, Brad. Sorry, Blaine, why did I keep calling Brad? And Prince and the rest of the administration for those updates. I also took some time to, I'll take some time to reflect on a trip that I was asked to go on to is the Northwest Passage, Amarok for the Canadian Rangers and the Reg Force. I attended in Churchill, Manitoba. The reflecting on community, the engagement part from community to community, over 5,200 kilometers was exactly what we see here at home in CarMax. The support, the people, the community, the kids, the to all the way to the elders coming and giving prayers. It was really something amazing to see. So I just wanted to share that piece with you. It was very privileged to see that happen. It's been 40 years since something like that's happened. Yeah, and I'll be following that up with in Whitehorse tomorrow at the Beringia Center. I believe it's at about 5 o'clock. There'll be a presentation from one CRPG and Whitehorse Rangers, Atlin Rangers, Dawson Rangers, all in the community of Rangers that come out of the Yukon, to give a kind of a showcase on what the trip was actually like with gear, everything laid out, a slideshow of pictures of all the community members, the people they met, the other Rangers they met. Yeah, so yeah, cool.
That's tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow night at the Beringia Center.
Is it open to the public?
Yes.
What time?
I believe it's at 5 o'clock. I know it's tight to it. I can confirm that time though. Yeah, just getting back after that here, just following up with the Fire Chief Blake on some things that he's been working on in the community. It sounds like we have an opportunity to showcase road safety, possibly with bylaw and the fire chief and the fire department. Sounds really interesting, and yeah, I'm in favor of that for sure. I'd like to be a part of that. Yeah, that's all I have for my report. So.
CA report. A lot of, I mean, I'll echo a lot of what the mayor mentioned about emergency preparedness. There's been a lot of work, a lot of discussion on that front with numerous parties. Most notably, there was a plan, a joint session with LSCFN and EMO on April 10th that I took part of with Blake Fire Chief. And so that was really good for kind of initiating a lot of things. There were there's been I did a walkthrough, sorry, an in-person meeting yesterday with the ADM of Protective Services, as well as met with Director of Wildfire, Director of EMO, Fire Marshal, number of, anyway, basically got the orientation on everything that everyone in that department does, and then contacts in terms of who you need to connect with if certain situations happen, and how everything is kind of connected. So that was really helpful. There was a continues to be an ongoing project on that piece too, a review of LSCFN and the Village of Carmack's emergency plans, and then developing recommendations for closer alignment. That is ongoing. It's a tough slog, very heavy lift, heavy work. So I'm kind of chipping away at it as we go, but I've been in regular contact with LCFN on that, and they're pleased with just the fact that it's moving forward. So more to come on that. There's been a lot of correspondence with animal care and control stakeholders, so vets, the Selkirk First Nation animal coordinator, as well as other CAOs, and to put the draft resolution together that council look forward to.
Yeah.
But AYC,
Yeah,
so
very good.
it's great. It should be, I think it'll it seems to be resonating on people. So
Well done.
there's been a lot of correspondence with community affairs and IDB about the DMAP public engagement planning, and there should be in the stack there a poster that Prince put together today. It looks
Let's see
really
that.
great. There's so we'll be sending that out, as well as the map that provided by IDB to kind of highlight what the project is and kind of what's happening. So we'll put those around the village in the next few days here, but it'll be on Tuesday, so next Tuesday at the arena, and 2 hours for the 2 hours before the public engagement. It'll be an opportunity for both the administration from LSCFN and the village to be able to talk about the technical pieces with Stantec and with IDB. So an invitation to council as well too to join.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. And so, and then also a lot of correspondence with YG on property management this week as well too, lease agreements and such. There's been just continuing to enhance Village of CarMax communication tools and structures. Again, it's an ongoing piece. And then just a lot of things, a lot of work's been going into the prep of a number of things that are upcoming. So including the DMAP public engagement, but then the in-person meeting with Minister Laking, which is coming about on May 1st. So that's next Friday. So basically it'll involve more research on energy files, mining files, that kind of thing. And then the council strategic planning workshop on May 18th. There's been correspondence with Jordan on that piece. And then yeah, that's so oh, and I guess also we started lifeguard interviews today.
Wow.
So
I
yeah.
meant to ask that.
There we go. So we've got so another one lined up next couple of days, and hoping to have more next week.
Do we have any returning flight guards or?
We don't have any returning to date, but we do have a referral.
Cool.
So
Do we have locals or will housing be a problem?
I don't think there's been any locals so far. So not yet. But I will.
Back up and just one quick with Minister Lakin. What time is that again?
It is 4:30.
4:30 to
And
5:30.
it's a Zoom meeting now.
No, it's in person. He and the deputy minister will be driving out on Friday.
And it's here or yep, right here.
Okay.
Or have it in my phone, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think. My apologies to council for all the text messages this week.
I did have one question regarding the pool. If you're bringing up the pool in the report of, did we engage with LCFN on the joint agreement on the pool for, is it a 1 year term or what's more than 1 year term?
No, it was
Ongoing.
whenever we open tool,
Okay.
whenever we operate,
Yeah.
we'll share that one thing.
That is awesome.
Okay.
Thank you, Little Sam.
Yeah, thank you, LSCFN, for your support with the CarMax swimming pool. I did see that a post went out for the, I want to say, forgot the name of the swim team, but for people to
CarMax Kings.
CarMax Kings to put their name forward to help support and volunteer for the swim team. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So if you know anybody, yeah. Any other questions for Blake on CAO report? I've got your name right there. Oh, thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
Okay, moving on. Finance report. Annette, finance officer. This finance and administration report. Expenditure summary. Report from March 2026 is attached for council's review. Bank recognizations for the month have been completed. Income statement, the income statement covering the period of or from January 1st to March 31st, 2026 is attached for council's review and consideration. The audit. I know Annette has been very busy with this piece. The interim audit is currently underway. Supporting documentation is being submitted on an ongoing basis with material provided almost daily. Youth Development Asset Program. The village was approved for the above program in the amount of $20,000. The first payment will be issued early April. Would you be able to speak on what that program is, please?
Ms. Fullerton?
It's the Youth Development Asset Program. Is that like a student workers or what is that?
I'll need to follow up on that one. Unless,
Okay.
Prince, do you have any more information on that one?
I think it's the regular program that they do every year.
For summer workers?
No,
No.
this is for rec center.
This is for rec center.
Rec center programming.
Okay.
for youth development.
Oh, so like the after school program or? Okay, got it. Thank you. Any questions on the check log? Any questions on the income statement for 2026-01-01 to 2026-03-31?
One quick question. So do both elevators work in the building now?
For now.
Yeah, right on.
Would somebody like to make a motion to submit this check log and the income statement for informational purposes?
Sure, I will do that.
The seconder? All in favor? Thank you.
There's extra piece for AFD.
Yeah, so the AFD, that's just the fuel consumption, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The small table is the monthly consumption for each department.
That looks very good.
Yeah.
We didn't have that before, right?
Yeah, no.
That's what we asked.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now it means.
Are you seeing that, Councillor Hanson?
Hmm?
The breakdown. The AFD consumption for March.
The breakdown that for all the fuel.
All separated up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, I was looking at home. I thought that was really good that you got to that. We could see where. Yeah.
Thank you, Annette. And Public Works and Administration.
Nice.
That's, yeah. Okay. We'll move on to Public Works General Manager Report from Jens. This talks about the water, the treatment plant, flow rates, operation at standard capacity with no fluctuations. Measurements, all regard readings are within normal range. The arena operating normal parameters with no reported issues. Recreation building open for scheduled activities, continue normal program operation. Landfill, which I attended today, and I like this. Say I seen some smiling faces. It was went to the dump without a hitch, and yeah, it only cost me $6.
Great job.
Yeah,
it was all good.
Yeah, well, it was nice to see the system and doing the pay and that all come through. It was,
yeah, and the scale's working out really well.
Yeah, she said I'll weigh you up and come back through, and yeah, some drywall and some construction debris, $6.
Nice.
Yeah. Perfect.
And it's been good. But, and actually, we are not using the weigh scale system that they provide. That was a little bit outdated.
Oh, yeah.
So we, whatever was the light speed, I was able to do with light speed only. So they don't have to do
both. Oh, cool.
So,
well, thank you.
Hopefully, so it will be good for us.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. The only question that I have on Jens's thing is, where do I see it here? It says partially working.
Okay, let's take a look.
Where is that now? Is the shredding under recreation, recycling facility
operation. Okay, so operations, sorting, shredding, and baling systems are partially operational. The furnace was repaired.
But does that
mean? I think that the bailing, I'm thinking, or something to do with the sorting.
Probably needs some work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we did mention that a few meetings ago. If Jens or the facility people at the recycling center just maybe the life expenses, the expectancy of that compact of the cardboard compressor or whatever, because that was like Councillor Wheeler had mentioned that it was like donated to us at some point or whatever. But
okay,
yeah, it's a heavy cardboard has been coming through for the last few years.
We hounded and hounded and hounded Minister John Stryker until we got it. So
yeah.
I don't know if it was new or used or what it was.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is it's something that we, because it's important if it's in our recycling, it's something that we better look at putting in our budget for a new machine somewhere down the road.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's all I had on that
one. I'll follow up with Jens on that one.
There was also another question I had brought up before there. I can't. Really, there was a radio ad, something about a Yukon company that puts a collection system type of pallet for fluids at your waste facility that accept it and they haul it away, like used oils and stuff.
It's coming
on Saturday.
On Saturday.
We got it approved.
Yes. Just like special waste day.
Yes. Yeah, but there's a unit that stays on a platform that's there year round.
Oh.
It's a program that you get involved with.
I had mentioned this in our last council. I heard that, but do you think I can hear that ad again on the radio?
I know.
I can never.
It's something Yukon, something I'm sure I dropped it for you. It's like it's. From what I gathered from the commercial was that it was free, but you have to apply it to the community to receive this unit.
Okay.
After this, remind me, I might give you a number to call a guy. He might be the guy to talk to. His name's Clayton Hadley. Might be the guy. I could be totally wrong, but for some reason...
But I think it'll alleviate a lot of the issues with the fluids and all that type of stuff they're dealing with. It's contained.
Yeah.
But interchange recycling.
That's the one. That's the one.
Interchange
recycling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Google is good. It's not me.
Real team effort there. Yeah.
I wonder if that's the same number.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll see.
Thank you, Jens, for your report.
Okay.
We'll go on to the Association of Yukon Communities. Councillor Wheeler's not here. Councillor Hanson.
Just go to the AGM.
AGM, Watson Lake.
Watson Lake. Good time.
Mother's Day. Don't be late.
The Sunday meeting, we've got like 17 resolutions and we need to have an election.
Yes.
So the Sunday meeting may be a little longer than noon, which we usually
start. Yeah, I've seen there was a lot of resolutions.
17. It's like there's a contest to see who can get the most.
One really important one there. It says the Village of Carmacks.
I know. That's right. That's why they took
on the map.
All right.
That's why we even took it late because it's so.
We're all scheduled to go into that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I already talked to my boss and I let Blake know could come in here about the dates.
You need to share a ride?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'll go.
Helen, I'm not there. Car, please.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
In the government is a long
track.
Shit. So you needed somebody.
Yeah. I needed someone with a heavy foot to get me there. But...
Care for those road checks, Blake. Beauchamp said.
Yeah, let Helen drive.
All right. Yeah. I need tickets. All right. 6.7 as the amended. Bylaw report, and that is a paper copy from Liam.
Speaking of,
now bylaw constable report, monthly report, March 2026, summary of activities, occurrences year to date 18 for dogs at large, but in March alone there was 5. Three dogs abandoned. Dogs were reported to bylaw and picked up at large. The dogs have been sent to Humane Society for rehoming. One dog caught outside the store. Aggressive dog complaints. Year to date, 1. Month of March, 0.
That's probably, that should be amended to two. There was a
Okay.
recent one that came out that happened after this, the package.
Traffic bylaw violations year to date 3, March 0. Assist RCMP years to date 1, March 0. And public encounters year to date 9, March 3. Responded to an animal control and bylaw inquiries. Occurrences, oh, sorry, open space infractions year to date 1, month of March 0. Highlights animal control interagency collaboration. Collaborated with animal protection officer on an ongoing investigation. Responded to reports of dog at large located, appear or apprehended 3 dogs believed to be abandoned. Thank you, Liam. I know I think I called some of those in too. Was kind of a sad thing. They were just hanging out. Ensure the dogs were safe, transported, transferred into care of the Humane Society. Assessment of rehoming considered. Thank you, Liam. All right, moving on to bylaws 7.1 327-26 VOC bylaw services constable. This would be for the use of Special Forces 2026. I'll pass this over to the CAO if you want to give us some comments.
Thanks, Mayor. So this bylaw is being proposed again. It is a the bylaw would allow the bylaw officer to have the authority and to have the tools to be able to respond accordingly to the different call-outs that come in. So just being able to be well equipped to be able to deal with the calls for keeping the public safe. So the real, I think the catalyst for moving this forward or for proposing this is really is really not just public safety but also staff safety. In order for the bylaw officer to be able to execute his job, it's important that again, importantly, he's able to have the tools to be able to have the confidence to respond as needed without feeling threatened and not being overwhelmed and not needing to call RCMP or conservation officer to be able to provide backup because he doesn't have the necessary tools. This is, I know that this was discussed earlier, and I know it was discussed in conjunction with the traffic bylaw, and there was a discussion about wanting to reopen the traffic bylaw before we move to this bylaw. My advice, just reviewing this and just the situation, getting to have a better understanding of the staffing situation, the job description as well too. And just the day-to-day operation that the bylaw officer goes through is to be able to, if this bylaw were to go forward first, even if this were to be approved, it could then be an understanding from the CAO to the bylaw officer to focus on animal control until the traffic bylaw is reopened and engagement is done, and then it can be well, whether it goes forward or not can then determine the scope of work at that point. But in the interim, I felt it was important as the employer as well to just that with the weather warming up and more instances bound to happen. We've already had an increase in certain instances where it's important for the bylaw officer to have the tools necessary to be able to have them as a deterrent. And I think that's the biggest, I think that's the best word to use here is it's not about needing to use them, it's about having them visible so that it can deter It can deter any aggression if it, if he's going to a residence and needing to deal with a needing to deal with a situation with, that requires animal confiscation, or whether it's dealing with rowdy partiers, whether it's dealing, having just something visible like that is a deterrence. Having an animal that's aggressive, that's another thing as well too. So it the last training that the bylaw officer received was in 2024. So one of the things with this would also be to ensure that he has refreshed training as well too, just to make sure that that that's yeah that, that's everything you need. So
I think we can do that in-house too, because our fire chief, I think, is capable of doing that recertification.
Well, we can definitely look into that.
Is it something we should run by the First Nation or the public?
That's a really good question. That's a really good point you brought up, because the fact that we have a bylaw officer and the fact that he's been able to do the job that he's been doing so far. In discussions with LLC, they're very impressed with the work that has been conducted so far. It's also being able to have the authority and being equipped to be able to do that job allows the village to have that joint agreement on animal control. Without that, there is a jeopardy of that not happening, especially if there's more call-outs for aggressive dogs. It's a difficult situation.
We've got to make sure he's covered when he's out of our jurisdiction.
Yeah. But the all discussions with the First Nation on the issue of animal control is that the agreement is working.
Right. So this is bylaw service constable use of. This is the policy, not an amendment.
The bylaw is after the policy. There is a bylaw.
Yeah, the bylaw of the second half.
I would say that there it is.
It's giving him peace officer designation is all the bylaw is. Right. And then the use of force becomes the policy within the clause.
Okay, so the way it's reading here as presented, this isn't a first reading because it's a policy.
No, there's a bylaw and a policy. Okay, there's so two things.
I need the under the bylaws for it to read to be opened as a first reading.
It's basically peace officer designation is what I would call it. I didn't give it a short title, though.
That's also how the job description currently reads, too, is that it's a peace officer.
Okay. So I'll just give everybody a few minutes to review this.
Do you want me to make a motion to open it up?
Well,
to discussion, or do you want to wait?
I just mostly reading here. Yeah. Councillor Hanson, if you
make the motion that bylaw number 327-26, being the bylaw services constable, peace officer, and use of force bylaw, first reading.
We have a seconder.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Questions.
Questions. I'll open it up for questions. I have questions regarding the use of force to obtain. Where did I read that? Peace officers' power and limitations, powers of. What are the tools that are necessary for the use of special force? Is what I have. That's my question.
Oh, yeah, spray.
Where do you see that?
It's on Appendix A.
A? Okay.
Appendix A is the policy.
Spray, baton, and restraint to possible handcuffs.
Yeah. Oleoresin, capsicum spray, expandable or fixed baton, and then handcuffs or soft restraints.
The village shall maintain and approve immediate weapons list. They don't necessarily. That's it.
That's we just. That's sure. It. Sure. Schedule A is or Appendix A is the list.
The verbiage of immediate, that word weapons, I'm not very taken kind to of how we explain that in there. I think it should be changed to tools or something.
Maybe defensive tools.
Yeah. I'd like to.
Where are you finding them?
So it's 6.1?
Okay, thank you.
6.1, read it. Come on. Definition of two.
That's the policy and not the bylaw.
If we could change the wording there.
Oh, I thought we were doing the first one. Later. The last here. Sorry, thank you, Doris.
To kind of capture the fact that, you know, I understand the use of special force.
But there's a definition, though, of intermediate weapons. It has a definition.
And I'm saying the whole word of that should be changed in every point of it.
But it's taken right from probably the Criminal Code of Canada or something.
Intermediate weapons, tools are devices used to control, restrain, or subdue an individual in a non-lethal manner. Examples include the spray, fixed baton.
That's what I would read.
So you're thinking that it needs to stay as weapons because that's what they are?
I think you can't sugarcoat it. People will know they're weapons.
Okay.
Well, that would be, if you're calling it a tool, would be a bit of a euphemism, I think.
Yeah.
But it's the point. It probably won't be well taken, but the whole thing probably.
That's why I was wondering, do we want to do readings until it's run past?
We're doing a first reading and it'll go to the public, that's for sure. Okay. Sorry, Blake, I'm just trying to read through something.
You see the one definition there, immediate weapon means non-lethal weapon, baton.
No.
What?
My question is on Appendix A, intermediate weapons in the weapons list, where it says that there's the spray, just for the, is that like for the dogs, or are you talking humans?
Humans mostly spray.
It's for
It
both.
should state what its use is for, so that they know, like.
So it's for the
Well, what is he going to use soft restraints and handcuffs on a dog? Should we
Well,
say that those are for people too?
right. Is there soft restraints? Is that specific, separated from the handcuffs,
That's
or
handcuffs with that, with
right?
the fur in them, like.
But what I'm saying is when you're talking about use of weapons, they should be individualized and specific to what their use is for. Because when somebody comes to say this was used, and you say, well, there's no definition on how it's being used, that's different, right? So what I'm saying is soft restraints could be that it's a dog noose or something. I don't know, right? How are we supposed to know as the public reading this, right?
I've never heard of a dog in handcuffs.
I know, but a soft restraint could be, you could say that's deciphered as a noose for the dog, to catch the dog, whereas other people are thinking it's soft handcuffs. So I'd like to see that possibly cleaned up a bit.
Okay. Can you just one more? But there is nothing about animal control, the equipment or whatever you use for to control the animal.
Yeah.
Like tranquilized the gun, or if the dog is at large, or she's biting people, or something.
Well, it's
But if it's
he doesn't have tranquilizer, he's
that. Yeah, I think if it gets to that point, it would be more of a conservation officer thing, because I don't think, I mean, I don't think having tranquilizer gun training would be, I mean, that I think that would take it to the next level kind of thing.
So it's
It's a good
just
question, but
specific to these three.
yeah, it's just, I mean, it's basically defensive and deterrent, you know.
Okay.
That's, yeah, I mean, we can look at trying to change the terminology from intermediate weapons, or yeah, intermediate weapons
We could
to
just wipe out the word weapons and just leave it intermediate tools and our devices
but it's
while doing that.
intermediate weapon is a definition of like
I think so
it's like
too.
saying this is a water bottle. It's a definition.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I understand where
But
you're
we can
coming from.
say that water bottles are used to hold water.
People use them as weapons too.
Yeah, true.
Okay, well,
I know.
beyond the thing of weapons fair, you can state that they're approved intermediate weapons, but the weapons need to be, they're recognized here on individual lines, but expand on what they're used for is mostly what I'm concerned about.
Well, it says to subdue an individual in a non-lethal manner.
That's the definition of.
And are we approving handcuffs as one of the tools?
Well, can we say
Yeah.
used for deterrence and defense? Like, I mean, because that would be applicable for both
Yeah.
animals
Well, but I don't see his deterrence here basically for animals.
Subject to training and use restrictions, I think is pretty important too. Maintain approved immediate weapons
I
list,
mean, I guess it
next
comes
day.
back to if soft restraints would be a could be a leash or
Yeah,
collar, or,
right.
you know,
But
yeah,
it should be
that defined, yeah.
defined us as so. Because right now we're just leaving it open to.
So if we say use, so for each of these three things, used for, used for, used for, okay. Yeah, we can put some words to that.
Any further discussion on that or changes?
No.
And just to be clear, did council want to change the wording from intermediate weapons to you want to leave that, or did you want to change it to something else?
I'm
Well, if you're worried about it, I'm thinking just take out the word weapons and just go intermediate tools and devices used for control. Take the word weapons out if that's the word you're worried about. I'm kind of old school like Doris. I don't see a problem with the word weapons, but I also understand.
This is first reading.
Yeah, but I also understand as soon as someone sees the word weapon, it's going to be a fight.
It's not a defense thing anymore.
Yeah, it's now defense. You know, I understand. So
if
I think
you change to defense tools or defense weapons
versus weapon or something.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
So maybe the word to change is intermediate
to defense.
Defensive.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Was that so verse?
Courteous is all right.
Okay, I'll call a question. All those in favor? That passes.
Okay. Let me see. Tell me, have a question.
Just 1 second. Is the we are passing the policy as well, or the?
We're just passing the first reading of that policy. He's going to amend it of the bylaw. He'll amend it, and it'll come back. Then we'll put it to public. Then it'll come back for third. So
but that's both the policy and bylaw.
Yeah, you have to post them both.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You want to finish business? 8.1 flood risk assessment and preparation update from CAO Blake.
Thanks. So, yeah, I mean, there's been, aside from what I was mentioning in the CAO report, there's been a lot of discussion with different members of the community. So, Ellis CFN is highly engaged with us on this. Blake, the fire chief, and Jens are both working on this. So Jens put together an inventory of what we have. Blake is currently working on what we need. So he's working with Colin at EMO about, so today, just an update today, there was an official request for the sandbagging equipment. So EMO has received that now. So as far as weather goes, it is a bit of a tea leaf reading exercise, but based on environment and climate change Canada, it sounds like CarMax is getting some warm daytime temperature, double digit later this week with below zero temps at night. This will indicate that you should see ice break up and start to move late this week and into the weekend. So I guess in a nutshell, we are going to be meeting with EMO again on Thursday. So we'll have more updates at that point that we'll be able to share and be able to put out as well too. I can kind of print off the next update. So there was an update on April 20th, so on Monday yesterday, from YG that basically identified CarMax as moderate to high risk. The Nordenskjold is higher risk, and it's already starting to break a little bit based on reports. There's a moderate risk that the Yukon will also be flooding this year. So It's still early to tell. Obviously, Nordenskjold comes first. It's already happening. A lot will be determined on how hot May gets, how fast. So ideally, we'd be seeing temperatures below zero at night, and then just a gradual warm up as we go. Not necessarily cold spring and all of a sudden right away like a heat flash.
Yeah.
So. But we are, I will say, we are getting prepared. There's a lot. I went over and spoke with you guys over at Wildfire Management. I've been trying to connect with Jerry over there. Jerry's agreed to be incident commander again this year. So that's really good news. But I still have yet to connect with him in person just to kind of put all the dots together. There's a lot of a lot of people, there's active conversations happening right now. And so there is things in the works. The key, I think, is just getting the mechanisms in place to make sure that information is able to get out to residents in real time when we get into that swing of things.
Those are like door knockers and that stuff.
So any advice that you have in terms of the council has in terms of things that we can
We
add
did
to
door knockers before.
it. Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of like people actually door knocking or things to hang on the door knock?
Same.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It worked well.
That's a good idea. And there is at this time the Northern Skilled water level is still relatively good slash average. The concern right now is potential ice jamming and rerouting. So that's kind of where we stand right now. But yeah.
Visually, on a positive note, from what you're seeing, is the evaporation and the ground kind of basically sponging up a lot of what you see, because you'll go to bed at night, you'll see a puddle in the morning. When you wake up, the puddle's gone.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
Kind of been nice because of it's got cold night.
Right. Yeah. So,
It's
I
been
mean,
nice.
there has been a couple of nights where it was like from my place or whatever, it's somewhere between 6 and 9 degrees, above at night, but that was only like one day or something, right?
Yeah.
From what I'm seeing by the Northern School, just by my view of kind of like the wetlands is what they call it. It seems wet, but not oversaturated from when I'm back there, like visibly looking at it. But that means the groundwater hasn't come up fully yet.
Yeah.
And there's been, I guess, on another positive thing, like it's maybe some data that YTG might not have or whatever, it's more local knowledge, is that some wells are down. So that means like
Yeah.
the water table is still down right now, which is a positive thing,
There
right? So
has been some indication of that, yeah, based
yeah.
on the data. So
Okay.
yeah. One question I have that I don't know if anyone with council's insights on, but are there areas of the road, the highway, that get washed out when the flood level gets high enough? Is there
Absolutely.
okay.
Yeah, right where Fire Chief Blake's property is, because the Norton Soul swings back, and that's where the bypass is. So back kind of in that area, it used to back up into where you see like Muckluck Manor sign when you first approach town.
Okay.
Like those ponds to the side will fill up, and it'll kind of push back on where you see like the natural drainage of that rest area. Down.
This area was underwater when it fall, and we got a lot of rain right here at the corner.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of what year that was. That
yeah.
year was out of came right to there.
That was wild.
Going back to Blake's, there's a time where the culvert couldn't keep it up, so YTG actually put their water pump out there like they did down here that time we had it at the swamp, and they were pumping it across the highway. So, but I'm trying to remember, what year was that, Doris? I'm trying to
It
remember.
was sometime
I think I still retroactive then, so it has to be a while ago now, isn't it? Or
Elaine was the mayor at that
yeah,
time, I
it's
think.
about 15 years ago. I'm trying to remember what happened there, why the water came there.
It was in fall time.
Yeah.
It was the embankment that was like it's receding there. It's not as
Seems to me it came from Norton School.
yeah, the Norton School for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, yeah.
There is an area if you when you're driving out there that you could see like the embankment is not very large.
Okay.
And that's where it kind of pushes through.
Think I can
It's
kind of,
almost open there.
I think I
And
can visualize it. Yeah.
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 The sad part is because every year we put sand on the road, every year we rebuild the road, we don't have ditches no more. There was a humongous ditch up here, and there's
Still
no
there.
ditch now. Look at the water in the road. And everybody's afraid to dig now because it took phone lines off the power poles and put them into the ground. We can't even go there with our loader and dig no more.
Yeah.
You have to call.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean,
really.
well, so I think they should put a 1 foot ditch all through there because that would hold a lot of water. I think they should open that up. Someone should put a letter forward and say, can you open that? Like I say, they used to come across the road to where the sunrise, where the post office is. There's the driveway there. On this side of the driveway, not the school driveway, there was a big hole there where all the water filled up in the ditch on Eric Olmsted's side. Then there was a culvert there straight across. came in, there was a big open hole there, and it would fill that, and then it would go, and then where the where
now,
it would go down around.
From what I recall in previous conversations, maybe you could correct me, Prince, but I do remember a conversation where they said they were going to alleviate the water that's over across the street from the store by Eric's and bring it across the road. And they did, YTG had somebody come out and they were measuring and they were taking all the data and everything to like alleviate that. And maybe we could maybe follow up with what that is, or if it's part of this flood mitigation piece, right?
It's a good, it would be a good time to raise that, those questions, like on Tuesday, like when they're out yeah. here, we can, during the technical briefing.
Yeah, because I do recall them being here measuring the road and looking at that culvert that runs down between the hotel and the side property there, that ditch, all that stuff.
Okay.
Right.
I'll make a note of it here.
Yeah.
And if is it worth mentioning to EMO too in terms of prep? Like, do they do mitigation like that? If it's something that would be
maybe. They could look at, so the concern there would be that the one way in, one way out. I think because you're not quite at the Casino Way Road yet, it's further down from that, so that would basically tell you that if that gets compromised, that there's no way through because you're not at the Casino Way Road to enter any part of that. So
okay, so
yeah,
so it could be,
yeah, it's a definitely a hazard of entering and exiting.
Okay,
north of Carmex.
North of Carmex, yeah. And this is again is along the highway.
Yeah.
Years ago, Carl Scanlon, you know where that Muckluck Manor sign is?
Mm-hmm.
This is before I moved to CarMax. Carl Scanlon built that
pond.
That.
Oh, the berm.
The berm.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because that water would come all the way down the ditch back
the other day, side, yeah.
All the way to here.
Yeah.
Like what Doris said.
Yeah.
But I can't remember where it came from that. I don't think it came from it that year. It was somewhere between here and the dump it came from. It was, we were like, where's this water coming from? But it was coming right, yeah, right down. You know, that was the only time I ever seen it in all my years here. But I'm trying to remember. Elaine was still mayor, so we're going back a while. Knock on wood, we don't have that problem no more. But it's the
been presented in the last two that we had on that southbound side.
Southbound. I'll raise it with Colin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. We'll move forward here. Upcoming DMAF public engagement piece update from CEO Blake.
Yeah, that's a good segue from what we were just talking about. For basically flood risk and risk assessment preparation was more short term, and this one is more kind of looking at long term. Since the work on this isn't scheduled to begin until next year, we need to know what that work is that
right.
they're planning. So,
yes.
I've been in regular contact with Kelly about putting this together. Prince did a great job putting together the communications on this today. So thank you, Prince, for that. I bounced that off Kelly as well too, and she said that it looks great and that we're gonna start posting the signs around the village, and then Kelly, I said she can feel free to send it out in their channels as well too. So it's been a really good partnership between us in terms of just kind of helping to guide IDB through organizing this. So
yes.
So we're ballparking about 75 people probably for the event, which will be 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. next Tuesday at the arena. And again, there'll be 2 hours in the lead up to that that'll be available for briefing for both administrations. So we should be able to get a full engagement on this by the end of it. And people that have concerns will be able to come out and get fed as well too, and hopefully that'll bring people out, but they'll be able to see the presentation, kind of have a better understanding of what this is, be able to ask questions.
How to get involved.
So that's on the 28th, next Tuesday then?
28th, yeah.
At what time?
4:30 to 6:30.
Rec Center.
At the arena. There's something at the Rec Center, so we have to move it over to the arena.
What's on the menu, Prince?
I'm not sure if YG's downloading it to us or if they're doing it themselves.
I see.
Yeah. But I'll keep you posted on that one. Yeah.
Salad.
Have to know if I should eat fruits or not.
Cereal.
It just sounds as good as long as it's not wilted.
Yeah. No. I think things are coming together pretty well for that. And it'd be nice to have this
I'm looking forward to it. I know council is too. It's and the public. It's
and it's good timing too, especially with everything that's happening right now. It's with being in defense.
Right.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and not to forget the fire season either.
Yeah, that is a good point. That was one of the things that came up actually in my meeting with the ADM and the directors yesterday. Is just the messaging, the focus is always on flood, but it's really important to ensure that the message is out there to residents about always being vigilant about the wildfire, keeping wildfire risks down too. So we'll do what we can to be able to move that messaging forward.
The thing is the last couple of the last two floods that we did have was that it knocked down vegetation, killed it, and then it dries up.
Right.
So it's kind of not a good thing either.
Yeah. It's in this summer, yeah. They're also calling for a warmer than normal summer.
Yes.
Due to La Nina. So it's
Okay. Thank you, Blake.
Welcome.
8.4 Council Strategic Planning Workshop, May 18th. Council feedback needed.
8.3.
Oh, sorry. 8.3, sorry. Meeting with Minister Laking, May 1st. Council feedback needed.
Yeah, so sorry. This was, we've kind of gone back and forth with Minister Laking's office. They're in the middle of spring sitting right now. So wanted to get the request in from council for a meeting. I was hoping that we'd be able to do a virtual meeting before AYC, just so that council would be able to have a bit of face time with the minister going into that. But his office actually responded really quickly and offered to do an in-person said that Minister Belmore was interested in coming out, as well as the Deputy Minister of EMR. So at this point, it doesn't look like Minister Belmore is able to make it. So it'll be just Minister Laking and the Deputy Minister, as well as his ministerial advisor. So it'll be solely focused on energy, mines, and resources.
Perfect.
But Minister Belmore knows that the meeting's going on. So I think if there's any follow-up or lead, like anything, any other kind of key topics to kind of perpetuate.
Yeah,
I think it's a good,
yes, good, well, yeah,
good to share. But I was gonna say it's a really good opportunity for council and for the village, given that this is the week before AYC. So it's an opportunity to ask questions and potentially plant seeds that will percolate, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And you'll have another chance to see him again, likely at AYC, I would imagine. So I think the big thing right now in terms of just what's needed, if you have any questions that are energy related, that are mining related, that are resource related, anything that a number of things have been brought up before about potential solar energy to like mining activity, but any specific questions or broad questions that you might have?
The specific one that comes to mind, like I was mentioning to before, is the allocation of the power stations that are getting, I guess, promoted as Can it fit in your community?
What sort of power statement?
There's two power sources that are being allocated to be suited or situated in Yukon. One is already, I can't remember if it was already Teslin or Watson that achieved one, or sorry, Whitehorse for sure.
Whitehorse, yeah.
So, but there's two other vacancies to have a power source in your community or in the Yukon somewhere, and that's kind of what I want to pick his brain about, saying that, you know,
being
backup power.
Oh, it's diesel.
I'm not sure. I want to know.
That's what I want to know, what power source you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wind, solar, diesel.
Exactly.
LNG.
But he did, it is stated on YTG's page through Ted and through his department and what that looks like being as a hub.
Yeah.
You know, how does that play?
Yeah.
For YTG and Village CarMax?
That's a good question. Has there been much, the way of debriefing from YG about potential energy sources here, like renewables and things too? Like, I know,
yeah,
like wind or solar, wind in particular.
There was studies. Trying to think when we were.
Would we have any file, anything on file?
I don't think it was for us in general.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been a few years.
Years and years ago, for more power, they wanted to put a dam out at
They were talking about a dam at Five Fingers. They're talking about dams at
Eagle Rock was the only one I remember.
The other one was in some drawing a blank on the ground heat.
Oh, geothermal.
Geothermal. From what I recall, that there's a large amount of geothermal potential for CarMax, but never has been really utilized, or what happened with those types of reports, or whose reports they were specifically.
This would be a good time to ask.
Yeah.
What about on Dennis? I remember you had mentioned solar before in terms of just if there's potential for solar here. So it's something that
for some reason I remember something about solar.
Well, I guess my question to him would be is if the federal government is kind of taking a turn on solar, what type of energy source, what's their pivot on that for Yukon? Right?
Because it's gone to flat out, what's it called?
Well, the thing is the question to the minister is that if the federal government is kind of pivoting away from solar, and we've had a heavy solar in the last, 10 years that they've been promoting, and now they can't control the fluctuation of power. How is Minister Laking pivoting that transition to you know, the Yukon and what that looks like? Because these are the power plant upgrades. Is that what we're talking about? How to control and regulate the fluctuation in those types of powers? That's transferring certain power into other power.
Yeah. What about new builds and wood stoves? I know that you guys have mentioned this before as well too, especially with all the cold snap in December.
So yeah, so that's where YTG. I guess it's not just YTG, but Yukoners in general know the fact of the wood is the fallback for no power. Sustain living in those temperatures is wood heat, right? But is there any movement on new builds, like what you're saying, to accept these alternatives still?
Yeah. Not only that, there's no wood lots left.
Well,
that kind of rolls into that piece of saying, you know, the resource piece is saying that there's a whole bunch of these fire killed areas in these regions. What's the accessibility level? What can we be expecting out of YTG to access those, you know, for not only private wood, but for contracted wood?
What areas are you speaking of?
Both the bubble burns by Ethel, stuff like that, right? Yeah. Like there's the cost of what it takes to put the road in and all that is a hindrance on the actual contractors, and then the private sector is utilizing those and other people paid for it, and it's not truly accessible and feasible to those areas on the people that are actually getting the wood.
Mm-hmm.
The government's putting the cost on the users of, you know, the potential woodcutters of the Yukon to access that stuff, right? There was once a rebate for those types of things where you put the access road in, you got some type of thing off your stumpage or a rebate of some sort for access, right? If that's coming back.
There's a question that was raised. It was touched on earlier from the last meeting with Mr. But it was about the it was directly related to the cold snap in December and the resources here and the worry that there wasn't enough propane, there wasn't enough supply. It was all
right. Yes. Yeah. So I think it was actually further than that. So the protection of our goods in the resource of fuels coming from the lower south.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reservoirs of what we have, the reserves of what is available to every community, right?
Yeah.
Not just CarMax. Because they're saying travel advisories, the highway is on, you know, usable at those temperatures, and then all of our goods, foods, fuels are stuck in the lower state, in the lower south, right? BC or Alberta. And then we start depleting our groceries, everything.
I think this that question, we can play around with the language on it, but like I think that you're really tapping into something important that touches on two key areas of Minister Lakin's mandate, which is both energy and resources, because food and food production is also under agriculture's under his mandate as well too. Okay. So
food security,
yeah.
Yes.
So that can tie in to both. Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is a great start. If there's other things, we can I'll follow up through email so we can kind of massage this a bit. And if there's more things we kind of percolate, then please let me know.
Yeah. Perfect. March. Now we're moving on to Council Strategic Planning Workshop, May 18th, Council Feedback.
Okay. So Jordan had mentioned that he's really looking forward to doing the session with you, with all of you. It can be, so I think it was initially envisioned for a 1.5 day session. He said he could do it in one. And if there's a need for or an interest in doing a kind of separate piece down the road on the Municipal Act and whatnot, you know, we can kind of do that as we go. But for the strategic planning session part, it would be, it'll be really important to know what council's kind of long-term goals are for the next few years, and then being able to map that out.
Yeah. So I did talk to Jordan about that. So for council, if you can bring forward some of your projected insights on the expectations of the plan for the strategic outcome of even the OCP and all these other things that we're talking about lately, bring those with you. I'm going to email Jordan in regards to what those like highlighted pieces are, kind of like the half and the housing and those types of things,
too dumb.
Right, yeah. Like, so
sure.
Having some of the bigger pieces, whatever your ideas are, we're collectively all on the same page. Same with Blake has to, he's emailing Jordan also, so we're going to get it all together. But
I gave Blake mine, so that's where I'll there. So I don't throw something in there. That's where it did come from.
But Doris, yeah, like some of the major things that we've been working on over the last couple councils. Yeah. I mean, one of the other things is the OCP, if that direction of that document still suits the needs for the village of Carmax and what that looks like. So that's one of the major ones.
Yeah.
There. We seem to be drifting away from that hub down there. So we might have to change the OCP to reflect that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Part of it is, part of this, I think, is a midway checking on kind of where the village is at with the OCP and then kind of where you want to go.
Yeah. Yes. Sounds good to me.
Thank you.
Okay, 8.5, housing project council feedback needed.
I think this was
kind of the Jane Kepke in the mark. All right. Open up for question period from the gallery. Not seeing any. There's a motion for an in-camera, two items for discussion, admin.
I'll make a motion that we start an in-camera session at 9:01.
9:01.
Okay.
Thank you.